In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is baptized. Indeed he is baptized. Truly he's baptized in the River Jordan. So I think it kind of goes without saying that Jesus Christ, this man from Galilee, born of a virgin, the incarnation of the pre-eternal Word, co-eternal with the Father, was in fact a revolutionary. And many people will say that, and I think there's some people kind of co-opt that and say, well, he was a revolutionary, he was all about this and that. But when we look closer at the Gospels and who Christ is, he was a revolutionary, but not a revolutionary of the systems of this world. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If I were so, we would take up, swords and go after all these things. But instead, his revolution was that of the human person. He comes to us as he did to the Pharisees, and he does this thing in the Gospels. I don't know if you noticed this, but he constantly says, you've heard it said, but I tell you. You've heard it said that you shall, do this, that if someone murders you, you cut off his hand or whatever. I forget the passage exactly. You heard it said you should do this, but I tell you. He's constantly taking our concepts and these things that we understand, and he's turning them around and saying, no, that's not how you think. That's not how we are to approach life. There has to be a transformation in the way you are deep inside of you. Because there was a time in history where God made allowances to Israel because of the hardness of their hearts. And I think specifically about his passage where, I don't know if you notice this in the Gospel, if you read him enough, he talks about divorce a lot to the Pharisees. It's like he's talking to his disciples, and he turns to the Pharisees, oh, by the way, divorce is bad. And disciples, ba-da-da-da-da, It's crazy. Luke, right before he talks about the Lazarus and the rich man, there's a passage there. And he says, well, what has Moses told you about divorce? And he says, well, if you don't like your wife, she doesn't cook right, she doesn't wear the right shoes, just issue her a certificate of divorce and be on your way. He said, Moses gave you that because of the hardness of your hearts. But I tell you, again, flipping it over, he says, I tell you, it has not always been that way. That any man that does this, we know the rest of the passage. And they had the Lord gave them the law because of the hardness of their hearts. They could not handle the light, and so he gave them something far less. And he hid the light from them in the law, so that they could not see the light until the fullness of time had come. Because the law, as Paul says, it was a schoolmaster. It wasn't the fullness of light. It was there just to prepare the way for he who is the law. By the way, Christ is the law. Just so you know, he's the law. Not Judge Dredd. If you know Judge Dredd, he says, I am the law. But anyhow. Because of the law, they could not see the light. And as the scripture says, though seeing they could not see, though hearing they could not understand, because of the hardness of their hearts. But God is the Lord and has revealed himself unto us. And here we stand in the after feast of Theophany, which is a few more days before we wrap it up. And we bask in the light of God as he pulls back the curtain on humanity and lets his light shine on all the world. And so while humanity was held in darkness because of the hardness of their hearts, and Christ came upsetting the norm and revolutionizing everything we ever thought about what it means to be human, what it means to be a good person, what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. He comes now and shows us the fullness of all those things. And you notice he doesn't offer us new laws. Everything we do, by the way, I will caution you, to be orthodox is tempting. It's very tempting. Oh man, if I can fast perfectly, and if I can do 1,000 prostrations, and I bow perfectly, and I do everything perfectly, and everything's perfect, 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 I'll be good, right? It's like, no. It's all there to assist in the purpose of revealing to us the light of God in the world and in ourselves, the image of God in each one of us. Everything in the Orthodox Church exists to reveal God to his people so that a light might shine in our lives and in the entire world. He is the light that shines the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And he is the light that shines even here today in this temple. He's the light that shines in the entire world. And make no mistake, after the incarnation of Christ, the world was never the same. And I can we can stand and have a discussion about that and all the ways the world has changed because of Christ. It is not just the world, those foolish people on the internet with their things that they're doing. It's us who sat in darkness, and God came to us in the darkness. And his mercy and his compassion says, you know what? You've heard it said that everything's darkness, but I tell you, I am the light. We knew the laws and regulations and commandments. Do not touch this, do not eat that, all these things that perish with the using. But in fact, we did not know God. And even though the law comes to us with rules and regulations and this and that's and this and that's and do this and do that, it does not bring us to God. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, do we come and make that ascent and find Christ. And I'll notice you that, I'll tell you that. If you don't believe me about that, people, oh, you know, I believe sola fide. It's like, well, yeah, but what do you mean by faith? You know, we are saved by grace in faith. We are not saved by the law. So we ask ourselves, so why do we do all these good things then if the law doesn't save us? Because we want to love God. That's the greatest command of all, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we fast, we pray, we come to church. We come to church because I tell you, and I, forgive me if I said this a lot, but we come to church because it's hard to say you love someone if you never spend time with them. And you meet Christ here. Wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. And if you want to see the light, come here and see it in your neighbors. If you want to know what Christ looks like, look next to you. Because a great light shines on us today. But the big question that I have is, do I really desire that light? And I think that's the biggest question of all. Yes, I pray. Yes, I fast. Yes, I come to church. Yes, I give to the poor. Yes, I try to forgive. But do I really love God? And at the end of all of that, after all the struggle and all of the ups and downs and the tryings and the trials and all these things, at the end of it all, I have to confess, and I think all of us have to confess, we don't really love God. So what do we do? Do we harden our hearts to the light? Should we become bitter and angry and cold? Do we become like those of old who are blinded to the light of God, that seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear? We do have something. We have our desire. We have the desire to want to love God. And we choose today to desire him above all else. And I've said this before, forgive me if I repeat myself. You're going to hear a lot of the same material over the next 20 years. All you have is your desire. And every time I have forsaken God, it's because I wanted to. I wanted to do that thing. I wanted to forget him. I was distracted by this or that or the other thing. And I forgot God. And my eyes turned away from the light. And I found myself in darkness. And my heart was hardened. And so today we choose to open ourselves to the light of God. We choose to come to church out of a desire to love him. We choose to pray. We choose to forgive. We choose to love. We choose to be merciful as God is merciful to us. It is a choice. I'm not very good at forgiving, but I am sure trying. I'm not very good at loving, but I want to love. And I'm going to try my best today to seek God and have him help and have his love inside of me. We see that great light and we are drawn to it. We too often fail to open our hearts to that light. We are weak, we are simple, and we are poor. But each of us here possesses a critical ingredient to the work of God's salvation in our lives. For those of you who aren't familiar with Orthodoxy, we don't believe that the work of salvation was done on the cross. Done. It has been done, it is being done, and it will be done. It's an eternal event. But the question is, how do we participate in that saving work? Do we really want it? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes my heart's over here, up in left field, chasing after strange things. I'm the prodigal son sometimes. But what we choose when we find ourselves out in the darkness and we find ourselves being hard, we examine our hearts and we examine our lives and we see how we have how we've become just like the Pharisees and how we've chosen the lesser of the goods. Then we change to God, Lord, forgive me, have mercy on me, help me run back to you. Do not let me wander from you, but instead keep me always near you. We have our desire and we tap into that desire and we say, Lord, build in me a greater desire than ever to love you and to love my neighbor. We choose to desire the change that Christ offers to us today. And above all, we desire revolution in our hearts. a tilling of the soil of the heart so that the light might come and produce fruit that feeds the whole world. And make no mistake, your salvation isn't just about your salvation. It's about the salvation of the world. It's a divine calling for all of us here today. It's not just for the priest. You're all part of the royal priesthood, by the way. Everyone here. You're all called to be ministers of the word of God, to offer God to the world and offer the world to God, which is the function of a priest. And so, when you find your heart getting soft or getting lax about God, you start to forget God. You start to think more about rules and regulations and this and that. Eat this, don't eat, eat that. And you find yourself falling into a form of legalism that hardens your heart and makes you numb to the light of God. Repent. Choose to desire God today. And when you find your desires weak, ask him to increase that desire inside of you, to kindle that fire inside of you, to till the soil of your heart so that he can plant a garden there. And that from us, meager and lowly people, his kingdom might be glorified and the entire world might be fed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.